My goodness, 29 minutes after the hour. Don, I hope we left you enough time today. We'll just go until we've covered it. You brought us quite a topic today, COVID vaccines and what's been going on. David and I have talked many times on the air, and David is just caught up with us here, about COVID shots, the vaccines, and how all that was presented to us and forced upon us in large measure. It turns out that we, the population of the United States, and I guess you could add Europe to that too, were the clinical study for COVID vaccines.
Yes. And because yes, very much so.
They didn't have time. And now I see that this just jumped out at me watching TV the other day. Moderna has a new television campaign in which they are touting their mRNA. And all they say, it's simple commercial full of graphics. It says mRNA will change medicine. mRNA will change everything. Now, I'm not sure whether that's for the better or for the worse. They don't tell me. What do you suspect is going on with that ad campaign?
Oh, my goodness. Well, they're gearing up for the next generation of mRNA vaccines, of course, which is going to be highly dangerous. I mean, we have seen with these vaccines that we've seen effects that we've never seen before in people from vaccines. And typically when vaccine manufacturers, for example, they do clinical trials and on a relatively small scale. And
but still thousands, right? I mean, still thousands.
Thousands. Yeah. We're not talking about millions, but we're talking about, you know, thousands of people. But when they start seeing deaths, they get concerned. And nowhere in the history of vaccine development has vaccines been allowed to continue to be used when there's been so many deaths with the COVID vaccines. For example, in the past, when you got up to 10, 20, even 50, they in the regulatory agencies would pull the product or pull the vaccine off the market and wouldn't be using it anymore. We've seen tens of thousands of 40, I think the number now attributed to the vaccine is up to 40 or 44,000, something in that range. And something amok in our system in our regulatory system and the vaccine development system has gone severely amok. And we are finding now post vaccines and post boosters where we're seeing conditions, like I said, that we've never seen before. And some of these are, for example, I mean, of course, you know, most people probably know about the myocarditis that is predominantly in young men, but can be really in anyone, but it appears to show up in young men. That's a direct result of the vaccines. But we also have, we're having a dramatic rise in various types of cancers. Most notably, uterine cancer, endometrial cancers, and very aggressive blood and brain cancers that have been a result of these vaccines. Now, when I say have been a result, it's not like you've got a one-to-one, you know, type of correlation, but strangely enough, these type of cancers have dramatically increased by a factor of two or three over previous years. And the only thing that's different is the vaccines. And they're increasing in the vaccinated population. So we've got a problem here that isn't being addressed by our regulatory agencies. The agencies that are supposed to protect people that were put into place to say, hey, wait a minute, you can't not just put your snake oil out there and it might harm people. So you need to do appropriate studies in order to figure out whether your snake oil is, one, beneficial to people, and two, doesn't cause that. Well, the major concern is safety. When we were doing clinical trials, the number one priority was safety. So if you had any signs of there might be safety issues, you better look twice, three times, four times at your clinical data and start bringing in experts to see if you've got something going on. But that doesn't appear to have happened with any of this development for the mRNA vaccines, and indeed, well, just the opposite.
Let me ask a question here. Now with COVID, at least the beginnings of COVID, in the rearview mirror, was the seriousness of this virus enough to justify the pharmaceutical and governmental response that we saw?
In my opinion, no, not at all. I mean, that data we now have and we now know, okay, yeah, the elderly were the most affected. And then as you dropped in age, the virus had little to no effect. But yet, the FDA recently approved the vaccine, not approved, but approved for experimental use, the vaccines for infants. This is crazy. I mean, this is absolutely absurdity. Now, these messenger RNA, I mean, the messenger RNA is...
This is a characteristic of this vaccine, which sets it apart from other vaccines, correct?
It's a totally biosynthesized, product. Other vaccines, traditional vaccines, for example, they used to take chicken eggs and they would inject the antigen into a chicken egg. And what's an antigen? It would be the virus or whatever you're trying to protect against. The chicken eggs would then produce, antibodies to it. Or you would produce more antigen because the chicken eggs wouldn't get infected with the virus. You would take those viruses, for example, denature them or make them inactive. And then your vaccine would be the virus particles themselves that they isolated either from chicken eggs or from horses or whatever animal that they're using in order to multiply, for example, the antigen or the virus in this case. Now, these are different in that the messenger RNAs is specifically coded to produce the spike protein and of the virus. And so it's the spike protein which is the most toxic component of the virus. So first off, why would you pick that particular region of the virus to code your messenger RNA for, because it's known to be the most toxic portion, and it's known that the spike protein acts like a prion, which gets into your brain. It passes the blood-brain barrier and causes all the neurological effects that the virus caused, and as well as the vaccines. So the loss of taste, the mind fog, if you will, is a direct result of the spike protein getting into your brain.
Okay, now here's an even more critical question. The pharmaceutical industry decided to do it this way. Was it a mistake or was it intentional?
Well, I think it was, if you go back, I mean, we're dragging up old material
here. Was there good faith? Was there good faith in the development of these vaccines, I guess is what I'm asking.
Well, to be honest with you,
please.
I cannot say that this was out of good faith. Hmm. for one thing, using the spike protein. Now, you would have to have a priori knowledge that the virus that was about ready to be released on the world contained the spike protein, and so therefore you could be pre-ready for in this case to quickly manufacture a new technology, a new vaccine that was specifically it's not against the spike protein, it manufactures the spike protein in your cells, which is a totally different technology than has ever been used before. So in my opinion, all of this was planned way in advance. This messenger RNA, for example, technology had been lingering and languishing, if you will, in the laboratory for over 20 years. Why was it languishing? Was because it could never pass the animal studies. And why couldn't it pass the animal studies? Well, you saw such things as uncontrollable inflammation that killed the animals. You saw cancers that appeared in the animals. You saw all kinds of conditions, which we are seeing now, blood clots in the animals, which we are seeing now with the vaccine in humans. And so if you submitted the animal data, for example, to the FDA, at least in the past when the FDA was an honest organization, but it doesn't appear to be anymore. It seems to be an arm of these pharmaceutical companies. You wouldn't have never gotten this product into clinical trials in the first place. But now we have a crisis. It's called the coronavirus, and oh my goodness, it's going to wipe out the population. And even in the 70-plus-year-old people, like myself and you, probably,
yes,
there's a lot of us here.
We're looking at 3%. Of the population in that age group, 3 to 5% at most. Of the population, it's not wiping us out. It's just, yes, okay, some people are going to that are compromised are going to die quicker with this particular virus, but it was never a major problem to begin with.
But it's not, and it's not the disease that's killing you; it's the stuff that you're sick with beyond that. That will weaken your system to such a point. If you weigh 400 pounds and you have congestive heart failure, and all of a sudden you were able to live with that, but all of a sudden COVID comes along and it's going to take you out.
Yes, and that's what I mean. Viruses in general, they take out the weak in society anyway. But the other insidious aspect of this whole development, or lack thereof, if you will, is that we had individual doctors who treated patients and saw conditions come up with medical regimens that saved lives. And they were shut out of, of the public knowledge that, hey, perhaps hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin and vitamin A and vitamin C and zinc and, other types of anti-inflammatory compounds are things that will help you get through this, even with a compromised immune system. And we could have saved hundreds of thousands of people, especially in the elderly population, and not had to vaccinate a single person. Let's just see what's happening now with those people who have been vaccinated.
Interesting comment, too, and I want to pass this along to listeners. There is a link to the article that we're referring to here, in the chat window at brokenroadradio.com. You can click on it and see what some of the comments, the thinking is of Dr. Ryan Cole, who's a world-famous pathologist. Here's one comment I want to pass along to you. He says, I thought, wait a minute, you can't vaccinate against coronaviruses. This family of viruses is not amenable to vaccination based on mutation rates. So my concern was very high early on. And he's been thoroughly censored and derided by peer groups because of his findings.
And anybody else who's spoken out against the vaccines or, you know, or any other regimen besides the vaccine for solving this problem. I mean, it is a crime, really, in my estimation. But now we have the vaccines. People have taken the vaccines. They've taken the boosters. And now we're seeing that their immune system, if your immune system was not compromised before, it has been compromised with the vaccine.
Now, these boosters are really just the original vaccine, are they not?
The original vaccine, and you're being given another dose of the mRNA, vaccine. So the messenger RNA. Now, if this was a normal messenger RNA, it probably wouldn't have been so bad. But the uridine, which is one of the nucleotide bases in these vaccines is not natural. It's synthetic, and so it resists being broken down by your natural body's ability and the natural cell's ability to break down messenger RNA. Every protein, every molecular biomolecular compound in your body, there are enzymes and systems to break down these products over a period of time, because they get used up and we need to, you know, it needs to be broken down and the pieces reused. In this case, there are synthetic artificial uridines, for example, in the messenger RNA, which inhibits the breakdown of the product.
Hmm.
Now, it's also been shown that the messenger RNA gets into your DNA. And they said, oh, no, it won't go into the DNA. It's already been incorporated into the DNA. So it's there. So your cells now become a permanent place to generate this spike protein. How long is the spike protein going to be, you know, synthesized by your cells? We don't know. They didn't know when this experiment started. They still don't know how long it's going to be. Generate. So now you have a prion, these spike proteins circulating in your blood system that is continuing to cause havoc in your body and continuing to suppress your immune system. So your natural killer T cells, which would take care of abnormal cells in our body. All of us have abnormal cells being generated in our body continuously. And God created us that we have these natural killer T cells, for example, that go around and sniffs every cell in your body and says, is this a normal cell or is this an abnormal cell? And if the answer comes back, this is an abnormal cells, then the killer T cells inject enzymes into the cells, which basically blow up the cells and kills the cells. Now, with a suppressed immune system, however, you are encouraging these abnormal cells to grow because the killer T cells aren't doing their work because you've suppressed them. And now we're seeing a rise in all of these cancers. A cancer is a problem of your immune system. If your immune system is working properly, you are much less likely to have any cancers whatsoever. It's only when your immune system becomes suppressed by some means, in this case, the vaccine and the vaccine products, are you now, is susceptible to these abnormal cells growing unchecked by your immune system, and so these cancers are forming. We're seeing brain cancers, for example, in kids now, young kids, that they've never seen before. Or the brain cancers are like, well, you know, the oncologists were saying, well, maybe I saw one or two, kids with brain cancer, in a couple of decades. But we're seeing four or five a week. And so this is quite alarming what we've actually done to our population, and to continue to use these products is extremely dangerous, and we're not doing the public any benefit here by doing this.
You know, this reminds me just a little bit of some of the past conversations we've had over the years regarding GMO, genetically modified organisms in food, and how, for example, Europe has banned the use of genetically modified grains. You can't buy them, you can't consume them over there legally. You can here. And those are products of firms like Monsanto, big chemical and agricultural organizations that presume to be feeding the world and increasing the food supply with this stuff. But apparently, when they mess with DNA, they may know what they're doing, but not know what the consequences are. You know, they may accomplish their purpose, but disregard the consequences. This is the same habitual pattern on the part of biologists.
Well, and the developers of these products, they did know what the consequences are because they showed up in the animal studies. Hmm. There is no excuse for this. They showed up in the animal studies, and
I did read about one study with cats, and all the cats died. This was about a year and a half ago, and then that seemed to alarm nobody.
Yeah, it should have alarmed everybody, because when your animals start dying on you because of the product that you're injecting them, that's a big red flag, and you have to do histology studies and all kinds of studies to figure out, okay, what's going on with these animals? Why did they die? And my control group didn't die, but my treated group died. And so you need to go into a big investigation to prove that, hey, this wasn't your drug, or it wasn't the actual active ingredient, but maybe it was something in your formulation that caused this problem. These have been under development for 20 years, and they couldn't get them to the clinical phase because of the animal studies.
Hmm.
And now all of a sudden we rush these things to market. They're not even in market. You can't buy them, because they haven't been approved in general for general use. They're still under experimental emergency use, use, and they're not. The Pfizer one. There was a version of that of the Pfizer that actually got approval, but you're not going to find a vial anywhere of the so-called approved version. And why is that? Because of the potential lawsuits that these companies would normally have occurred because of the deaths and all of these side effects.
See, and that was part of it because, as I understand it, the pharmaceutical companies were immune from prosecution, maybe still are, from the use of these vaccines in order to stimulate the production and get it out into the population rapidly, part of this Operation Warp Speed put into effect a couple of years ago. You could not sue a pharmaceutical for adverse effects of the vaccine.
Because it was an experimental drug.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's still classified, which I believe it is, as an experimental drug, the pharmaceutical companies have immunity. And
wow.
It's just insidious what, the the evil that has been propagated upon the population of the world, really. I mean, it's not just America. It's Europe and in, you know, some of these, I mean, other developed, end quote, developed nations. You know, Japan, for example, rejected millions and millions of doses of the vaccine because they said, "Hey, there's some dirt in here. There's something that we don't see that we, I mean, there's something that we see that we don't like, and we're not going to be using these." And so they wound up rejecting it, at least that particular batch. I don't know if they went and got other batches or developed a vaccine themselves. But
and I have heard about AstraZeneca, too, where they developed a vaccine that was not allowed to be used in the U.S., so we exported it to Mexico instead, which seems like a strange thing to do.
Yes. Well, you got to make money somehow, you know.
Well, is that the idea? And we've got some comments, thanks to listeners here. We've got some new links to articles concerning this in the chat window, again, at BrokenRoadRadio.com. And some comments, and one of the comments was follow the money. Is money at the root of this, or is it something even more evil than money?
Money is at the root of this. And is there more? Yeah. I mean, one could speculate, and I don't really want to, you know, go there of population control and all of this other stuff. But that appears to be one of the side effects of the vaccine is we're going to, especially the younger generation that have received the vaccines, they will probably not live as long as some of us, just simply because of taking the vaccine. Mm. Now, if you're experiencing some side effects, there is some good news, and there's some things that you can do. One of them probably is not, you have to find a doctor that will do some of these things. But for example, one of the problems with the suppression of the immune system is that your mitochondria is not working as well as it should. And the mitochondria is very important to getting your cells back in shape. These are the mitochondria, often called the powerhouse of the cell. The problem with the mitochondria is there's too much oxygen and they're getting overly oxidized, if you will.
Burned
and
up.
So
yeah.
They're being burnt out. But there are some things that you can do, and one of the drugs, it's an antidepressant drug. Fluvoxamine is an antidepressant drug, but it blocks cytokine production in neural tissues. So if you're having some neural effects, then this might be, you have to see your doctor. Obviously, it's a drug, so you have to get, your doctor has to prescribe it. The side effects of fluvoxamine is it cause you to be anxious. The good thing is you don't have to take it for very long. A couple of weeks is all that you need to take this particular drug, and it will essentially reverse some of the neurological activities, action of the spike protein.
Okay, give us the name of the drug again slowly. What is it?
Fluvoxamine. FLUVOXAMINE.
Okay, got it.
Fluvoxamine. It's an antidepressant drug, but it has it, and it, not all antidepressant drugs have this particular property, but this particular one blocks cytokine production, which is the most important aspect of using it in this particular case.
And I should have mentioned, I'm sorry, go ahead, Don.
Well, another pharmaceutical, another drug, folks who have done chemistry know methylene blue because it's a dye that's used as a pH indicator, methylene blue, and for dyeing cells. It also improves mitochondrial respiration and repair, And you can get pharmaceutical grade methylene blue and take some of that, again, under a doctor's guidance and prescription. And that will help clear things out. Another is near-infrared light, for example. And where do you get near-infrared light? You just stand outside in the sunshine. Mm-hmm. Okay, you could go into a near-infrared booth, and there are near-infrared saunas that will do the same thing. But for most of us in summer, we just need to go outside and get some sunshine, and that will also help. Of course, the near-infrared light triggers the production of melatonin, and that then helps your mitochondria as well.
And we settle on a God-given procedure. Tools and antigens and cures that the Lord has provided to us naturally. And maybe naturally is the key to all this. Just stay away from the unnatural stuff. And Don, I want to thank you. I should have mentioned at the beginning, I know a lot of people who have listened to us for years know this already, but Don is a biochemist with years of experience in pharmaceuticals. You could probably tell by his recital of this information today. Again, there are links to this article and the threat posed by the COVID vaccines in the chat window at brokenroadradio.com. And I'm hearing more and more entries in the chat window as time goes on, so take a peek there. And you might also go to Creation Moments. Don is a member of the board of Creation Moments. Their website, creationmoments.com, and there you will find scientific information that supports and explains and elucidates the biblical story of creation. That's important to us, too. Don, thanks very much. We've used up our time today. Maybe we should pick this up next week. We'll see. But we'll look forward to your conversation next Tuesday. Be available?
I am going to be available. Yes,
okay,
sir.
We will look forward to that. Don, thanks so much. We'll talk to you then. Bye-bye.
Okay. Have a great week.